So we're going to look in Luke 1. Luke 1, and I'm just going to pull out a phrase, and I preached on this before, and so you probably don't remember, and if you do, well, you'll just have to forgive me.
Right.
You ought to be able to preach more than one message out of one verse. Amen.
That's right.
More than one time. Brother Allen, he didn't have about five messages. He preached everywhere he went. I mean, you heard Brother Allen, you've heard all of his messages, but he just stuck to it, amen. Hey, I don't have a problem with that. Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, amen.
Amen.
And I guarantee you, them messages are working, amen.
That's right.
All right, Luke chapter number 1, verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judah a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abi, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now that's a pretty high level there.
Oh, yeah.
And so thank God for them, Zacharias and Elizabeth. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while they executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." Well, what's he been praying about?
Yeah.
He's well stricken in years. What's he been praying about? He's been praying about a baby. He wants a baby. He wants a child.
Right.
He's well stricken in years now.
Yes.
Still praying about it, apparently. And the Bible says in verse 13, "And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John."
Yep.
"And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias." And I just want to insert this right quick. If you was to go back to the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, those last two verses prophesy about this very thing right here.
Yes, yes.
And I was amazed at how John was talked about 400 years, and now it's finally come to pass.
That's right.
And he's come, and the Bible says that he's going to go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And so we'll stop reading there tonight. Thank you for standing. Lord, we love you this evening. Thank you for this good day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for all of your many blessings in so many ways. God, we have too many that we could even count tonight. But God, you are so good to us in so many ways. And Lord, I thank you for being able to come back to the church tonight and the health and strength you've given us, Lord. I thank you for most of our people, Lord, are here tonight, and I'm so grateful for that. And Lord, I pray for them tonight, God, that you'd just challenge our hearts, encourage us, Lord, to do our best for you. Lord, when I think about Calvary, when I think about dying for me, Lord, and getting up the third day and all that you did to make sure that we could be saved by the grace of God and not just miss an eternal hell, but our lives could be conformed in the very image of Christ. Lord, when I think about that, Lord, I want you to help me, Lord, to allow you to do that in my life and help me to do my best for Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you'll burn that in all of our hearts this evening, Lord, that we might allow you to have your way with our lives and you'd use us for the glory of God in these days. And we'll love you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'll go back to verse 15 and lift that little phrase right there out. It's talking about John the Baptist here, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord." And I want to preach a little bit tonight on becoming great in the sight of the Lord.
Amen.
And so the Bible said he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. And I know we're living in the days when this world has become so empowered by technology, and the world has seemingly had an explosion of knowledge and wealth.
Right.
But I would say the Bible remains the same. Right. And there's a great difference in what the world considers to be great and what God considers to be great.
Right.
Someone said, when we have the smile of God, oftentimes we will have the frown of men.
Yeah.
And that's so true. We as the people of God are living in a generation that thinks success is having money and nice homes and fancy cars and becoming famous and having the applaud of men. And people work their fingers to the bones to have all that. But I want to remind us tonight, dear children, that that don't impress God at all.
Amen.
God's not impressed with none of that.
Right.
Amen. That don't impress him. Right. I mean, he's got mansions in heaven. I mean, this stuff down here is made out of wood and brick and mortar. It's going to burn up one day.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm going to walk on gold. So amen. So that, all of them are nice. And it's, if you can have them, it's great to have. Praise God. I'm not against having things. But that's not, in God's eyes, that's not really being a successful person.
That's right.
It may be in the world, and the world look at you and say, my, look at them, man, they got it. They got it going.
Oh, yeah.
And I know a lot of people that think they got it going. They ain't got nothing going with God.
Right.
Amen. I'd rather have something going with God and have the world look at me and say, he's got it going. Amen.
Right.
So this is not how the Lord thinks, nor is it how he operates. The world, thousands of years ago, looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and considered him nothing but a thief and a failure.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
And still today, the world has a misconception of Christ and what true success really is. And I wish I could just somehow just beat that in God's people's stubborn heads that listen, the things that you get caught up in is the world is, that's what, not it's not what it's all about.
Right.
It really ain't going to matter how much money you made when you're standing before Jesus.
Right. Amen.
Hey, I say if you can make $1 million, go for it, buddy.
Right.
Amen. I'm not against that.
Right.
Okay? But don't let that be your main goal in life.
Amen.
Our main goal in life ought to be pleasing the Lord Jesus. Amen. And I know that ain't popular today, but it's the truth.
Amen.
I would say Jesus did more for me than anybody in this world. Would you not say that? He's the one that lets you live, gives you help to work and to make the money that you make, amen. And he's the one that lets bless us to have the ability to do it, amen. I mean, we could none of us do what we do if God didn't help us to even be able to have the mind and the brain to even conceive what we're doing, amen. And so God gets all the glory for that, amen. And so there are many people do not have different goals and ambitions and desires in life. And I want to say there's nothing wrong with that at all. As a matter of fact, you should have some goals and desires, and you should desire to fulfill them things in your life, amen.
Amen.
But I just want to say this, it becomes a little different when you become a Christian.
Yes.
It really does when you become a Christian. I'm thinking about two people, and I talk about them a lot, but I think about Gerald Smith. I mean, I'm talking about 1932. He went for 7 years to medical school to be a medical doctor.
Right.
For 7 years back in the 30s, Gerald Smith, yeah. I'm going to be a medical doctor. I want to help humanity.
Yep.
And that is to be applauded for people that want to do that.
That's right.
Amen. But he got saved in 1935. And his biography says that he surrendered to preach the very day that he got saved.
Yes.
And the Lord said, it's noble that what you want to do. But he said, I felt a higher calling, not to just to help try to help people physically, but help their eternal soul miss a burning hell.
That's right.
And then I think about Percy Ray, could have been a famous TV star.
Yep.
But God had already called him to preach and all of that. And you know, I, for one, I never really was on a personal basis with those men, but their lives have touched mine in so many different ways. I thank God for those men that just decided I'm going to go with God, and they burned all the bridges and they didn't look back, amen. And I know everybody ain't going to be preachers, so you can't do that. But thank God for those that have, amen. And thank God for those that do, that are Christians and that can have those jobs and do the things they do and still bring glory to God. Amen.
That's right.
So your outlook on life changes and desires are awakened in your heart, and a life to serve the Lord becomes pleasing in your sight. And so I want to take this great man the Bible called John the Baptist and declare to you that John did become great in the sight of the Lord. Although he lived a very short life, he did the will of God for his life.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as I know, according to my calculations, he didn't live to be but 30 years old.
Right.
And what a life he lived, though. He lived it for Jesus, amen.
That's right.
So when John came on the scene, we had the barrel of the Old Testament dispensation in the beginning of the New. John takes in one hand the Old Testament and with the other the New, and through his ministry he makes a transition from law to grace. Becoming great in the sight of the Lord involved a few things that are actually obvious tonight. If you want to become great in the sight of the Lord, well, number one, you got to have a relationship with him. We know that's just obvious. That's just elementary. You got to be saved. And I think that's the reason some people have a hard time being anything for God, because they don't know him. Well, you got to know the Lord. You got to have a relationship with God if you're going to become great with the Lord. And then you got to have a willingness to do God's will. You got to be willing to let God do through you what he wants to. That's right. And then number three, there's got to be submission to God's will. And we, you know, our flesh don't like that word, does it? Submission. But it's a good word. It's not going to hurt you to do that. And so when we consider becoming great in the sight of the Lord after salvation, the biggest challenge, of course, will be in the area of our will. What our will is going to do. We have a will. God gave us a will. Amen. And I've said this countless times. I think the most dangerous thing that God ever gave a human being was a will. You say, why? Because with that will, you as an individual can decide your destiny, your outcome in life. You can will to trust Christ and be saved, or you can will not to. You can will to receive him, or you can will to reject him. You can will to live for him and be faithful and be a good church member. You can will to not be that. Amen. We have a will. And that will, God just saved us not to keep us out of hell, but God saved us that we might be conformed in the very image of Christ. And for God to do that, he has to subdue our own will. Our will has to be subdued by the Lord. We have to give the Lord our will. He's not going to take it from you.
Amen.
You have to give it to him.
Amen.
And be not transformed, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. So it's the will, part of the will there, amen. Yes. And so we can consider becoming great inside the Lord. The biggest challenge is our will. This word great, he said he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. It means to an extent, to an amount or intensity.
Yes.
It's considerably above normal or average.
That's right.
I mean, we think about Jesus, who don't want to be more than normal or average?
Amen.
If you just won't do enough to get by and say you're saved and you're a Christian and you love God, I tell you, that's a pitiful testimony, amen. We, every one of us in here, ought to want to be more than normal, more than mediocre, more than just do what's expected of me. I ought to want to go the second mile, amen,
amen.
For Jesus, the Lord Jesus, amen. Oh, that's right.
Amen.
Salvation took place in my life. There's a desire came alive in my heart to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And this desire will soon become a delight in your life, and then it'll become your duty, and then it's your destiny. Amen.
Yes,
and so there's nothing greater, somebody said, than discovering God's will and then doing it for your life and staying with it. Amen.
Amen.
Now notice the Bible said, keep in mind here that the Bible never said that John became great in the sight of the world. But he became great in the sight of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
That's right. So more people are more concerned about being great in the sight of the world than they are the Lord. Or becoming great in the sight of their co-workers than they are the Lord.
Amen.
That's right. Well, if you got that idea, you need to change it. Amen.
Amen.
He became great in the sight of the Lord. And so John's greatness can be attributed to John's willingness. The will of man is a powerful thing. And so, praise the Lord, we can have power over our wills and give ourselves unto the Lord.
That's right.
So here's about 4 or 5 points on how we can become great.
Amen.
In the sight of the Lord. We're going to have to be like John. Number one, we're going to be willing to be like John now.
Yes, yes.
Number one, be odd.
Yeah.
This generation, everybody wants to fit in, don't they?
Sure.
We got to fit in. We got to act like them. We got to look like them. And God forbid if we look different.
Right.
God forbid if we look different from the world.
Uh-huh.
That'd be a shame. We got to get along to, no, I don't have to get along with nobody, amen.
Right.
I don't have to get along with the world. I don't have to like their philosophies and ideas and all of that. And you do know when we're saying not to be like the world, we're not talking necessarily about the people, but the system of the world.
Right.
Their ideas and philosophies.
That's
That's what I'm preaching about. When we're not being like the world, we don't want to be like that.
Amen.
Now the people, they're just like us, just a bunch of old sinners that God come by and saved. Amen. But we don't be like the world. And so if you're not going to be like the world, you're going to be odd. And the same John had it, Matthew 3:4, and the same John the Baptist had his raiment of a camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. This was not what the other religious leaders were wearing or eating. Amen. John the Baptist come out of the woods with a loincloth on, wiping his mouth from eating locusts and honey. Amen. Said, screaming, repent! Would you like to be on that seashore that day when that whale threw up Jonah? And that dude come out of that whale. I mean, he probably looked all that acid probably ate his skin and messed his skin up and probably had all this. I mean, he probably looked weird.
Oh yeah.
That'd been enough for me to repent if I'd been in Jonah. I'd been in Nineveh. Amen.
Yeah.
But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses, Jesus said.
Amen.
But what went you out to see? A prophet?
Yeah.
Yay! I said you are more than a prophet.
That's right.
Amen. It's what Jesus said about him. You know, Jesus bragged on John the Baptist.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. The world hates John the Baptist.
Amen.
Herod didn't like John the Baptist. Amen. But I want to say, if you'll be great inside the Lord, we must be willing to be odd as far as this world's concerned. And I believe you've got enough sense to know, without me having to get in all that and preach all that, you know the things that makes us odd.
Sure.
You just use your little noggin a little bit as a Christian and figure out what's going to make me look odd in the world and do it, and you'll be all right. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying John was willing to be odd. And number two, what made him so great, he was willing to be obedient.
Amen.
He's obedient to preach.
Right.
Then said he, John, to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Oh my goodness, he had the boldness on him, didn't he? Well, you know what? I tell you something I ain't figured out. And if you got it figured out, you let me in on it. Amen. I ain't figured out how John was full of the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. But it was. He's filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb.
Right.
And so if you figure that out, let me know, because that's interesting to me. And I don't have the answer to that, but I don't have no problem believing it.
Amen.
But he's obedient to preach. He was obedient to tell the truth. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done. And so guess what? You realize what courage that took? I'll tell you, Herod, he was a king. He had power.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, amen.
Amen.
But it didn't bother John the Baptist. He looked him in the face and called him out on it, amen.
Amen.
I would say my hat's off to any preacher, any pastor this evening. They'll just pin his ears back and tell people the truth. We need the truth, amen. Our hearts need truth. We may not always like it. Our flesh may not always accept it, but we need truth, amen. I tell you what church people should do. Instead of being critical and debating on where the preacher should preach what he preaches, is get behind him and say amen to the truth, amen. God told Isaiah, cry loud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. And so my people, their transgressions, and the house of Jacob, their sins, amen. I tell you, preacher, get to preaching and showing people their transgressions. They don't like it, amen. You're not going to like it if the preacher gets on your sin. Your flesh ain't going to like it. Every man will have to say, oh me, he's right and I'm wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Old flesh won't like it. That's where you got to be careful how you respond to preaching when it gets on it.
Amen.
And it gets in your lap, gets in your face, amen.
Amen.
And you thinking yourself, well, you might as well go ahead and call my name out. You might as well just say, man, our flesh don't like that. But you know what? His obedience to tell the truth. And I'm glad, thank God for us. I know I'm a pastor of a church that don't mind me telling the truth. Ain't none of you got too mad yet. If you have got mad, don't let me know. Amen.
That's right.
You don't have to let me know. I can see it on your face. I can see it on your countenance.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I can see when people get upset about just this little thing. Your countenance tells on you.
Amen.
It's like one preacher said when he said, when I go to preachers, man, he said, I smile through the whole service.
Yeah.
He said, I ain't going to let that crowd know they got on my scene. That's a bunch of garbage, by the way. Don't believe none of that junk.
Amen.
Listen, we don't thank God the preacher can disturb us a little bit. I don't think I'd want a center of man that couldn't get me boogered up a little every now and then.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
You need to get boogered up a little bit every now and then. Amen. The preacher that comes across the pulpit needs to challenge you.
Right.
Needs to convict you. Needs to speak to you. Amen.
Yes.
That's right. It does. I mean, what would be the use of it? If Joel Osteen was back here and just give you a little pep talk every service and pat you on the back and say, praise God, we're going to heaven out of Gaddy.
Amen.
You've been such a good people today. Somebody shoot me and put me out of my misery. I tell you one thing, I wouldn't stay in a place like that very long at all. And see what's so sad about all that crowd is over there? I'm talking about thousands of people. Them people ain't saved. They don't know God. They wasn't no good preachers but slapping upside the face.
That's right.
That's right. Amen. Hey, I just want to say I'm glad I know something about good preaching. Amen. Amen. I'm not saying that I do it. But praise God. I'm glad I've heard some good preaching. Amen.
Amen.
His obedient, my friend, to preach. He's obedient to tell the truth. He's obedient to baptize. Yeah. Then coming Jesus from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I got need of thee to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said to him, "Serve to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he suffered him. So if you want to be great in the sight of the Lord, you got to be willing to be obedient to the Lord, and you got to be willing to be odd. But I would say number three, you got to be willing to face opposition.
Sure.
And you'll have it in your life. Oh my! I don't like it.
No, sir.
I'm not a very is this the right word? Controversial person. I don't like controversy.
Exactly right.
I don't like it.
I don't
like it. I try not to start it myself, but if it comes to me, I'm not afraid of it. If I have to face it, have to deal with it, I'm not going to run from it, but I'd rather not have it. Amen. It's just me. Some preachers like a good fight. I ain't looking for a good fight. I'm not preaching to make people mad and fight. Now, how many times I've heard some of these guys on tape years ago, we'll meet you out there in the backyard and we'll just fist it out. I'm thinking, where's God in all this?
Exactly right.
Where's Jesus in all this?
That's right.
God probably behind the pulpit just blast him. I mean, if you don't like it, we'll meet out there in the parking lot. I'm thinking, what kind of preacher are you?
Right.
You're stupid.
Exactly right.
Where's Jesus in all that?
Amen.
Hey, I'm not against preaching against sin. We're going to do it. We're going to come down hard on it, but listen, I'm not trying to hurt people. I want to help people.
Amen.
If I'm going to land bless your sin, I want you to know I'm trying to help you, not hurt you, amen. I tell you, the listening to some preachers, all they're trying to do is make everybody mad. And when they come to the house of God, they feel like they have to wear a football uniform because they feel like they're going to get beat up by the preacher every time because they ain't doing everything the preacher said to do.
Amen.
I don't want that junk in my heart. I want a pastor's heart. I want to love the flock.
Amen.
I'm going to preach to you when you need it if God tells me to.
Yes.
And so don't get upset about that.
Right.
If I do get in your lap every now and then, it ain't my fault. If you do right, I wouldn't have to. Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, but I, you know, oh, God help us, Jesus. Amen. Opposition, you got to be willing to face opposition. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, Luke 7:33, and you say he had the devil. The Pharisees and the lawyers said that. He's got a devil.
Yeah.
Mark 6:19, therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. But she ended up getting her way in here. Luke 3:20 and added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. And so John faced some opposition. Amen. And so he preached on dancing and divorce, and it got him in trouble.
That's right.
We preach on that here around here too.
That's right.
Amen. It ain't right. It's never been right. Never will be right.
That's right.
Amen. I don't believe in dance. I don't believe in divorce. Amen.
Amen.
Is that clear to everybody?
Right.
We don't believe in all that.
Right.
Amen.
But listen, people got to do what they got to do, I guess. But I'm still going to preach on it.
Right, right.
And you know, if you're in all that, hey, you'll just have to deal with it.
Yes, sir.
I got to have the liberty to preach it.
Amen.
And I don't preach it all the time. I'm telling you what, these younger people, they need to hear that.
Amen.
And I'm not going to let, just because somebody's got done all that, I'm not going to let that keep me from helping the younger people try to avoid all that. And the people that's been in all that, they want to say, preacher, yes, please help them to avoid that. We made too many mistakes. We don't want other people to do that. Amen. That's right. And so that's right. And so he faced opposition. Amen. Yeah, we got all these dance schools around Kannapolis.
Yes, sir, that's right.
I'll tell you one thing. I don't think I'd recommend taking my daughter to some dance school.
No,
they do it, buddy.
Yes, sir.
And they sit in our Baptist churches right here in Rowan County, and they do it. Yeah, I might as well just go ahead and preach on that a little bit, dancing.
Amen.
I don't mind holy dance, but no, most people don't know nothing about the holy dance. Amen. I don't know nothing about the holy dance. I ain't never did a holy dance. Don't reckon. May have. I don't know. I turned a few cartwheels before preaching. You know, took off on a holy dance.
Yeah.
Seen Brother Mountain do some holy dances up on the mountain.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man. Old Tom Jones, old Irishman, God saved. He used to do a holy dance every now and then. God get on that. God get in a service. Amen. I'm just saying that this dancing is war promote. No, that's not right.
No,
and it's wicked. Amen. All these dance clubs and bars they go to and dance and all that. And,
amen.
You know, don't do that.
Right.
That's right.
And mama, if you got daughters, don't send them to dance school.
Right.
It's just not right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know, Herodias' daughter, what did she do? She danced before him.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what it did? It pleased a bunch of heathens.
Right. Yeah. Oh yes.
A bunch of perverts. They got wound up. Amen.
That's right.
That's all good dancing's for. Get your flesh riled up.
Right. Hey.
A bunch of junk and lust and wickedness. And so don't send your youngins to dancing school.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
And I don't believe you're going to. I just preach it, maybe.
Amen.
If you're going to be great for the Lord, you're going to have to be willing to be on the outside of the picture.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
He it is who coming after me is preferred before me.
Exactly.
Whose shoes latch it, I'm not worthy to unloose. Then that great verse that challenges my heart. He must increase, but I must decrease.
That's right.
You know, somebody said some people are just simply too big for God to use. I want to say you never can be too small for God to use.
Right now.
But you can't get too big for God to use.
Yes, sir.
So the humility of John was what helped him be great inside the Lord.
Yes.
Think about what a great position he was fulfilling in being the forerunner of Christ. I mean, that's pretty big.
Yes, it is.
He was prophesied in Malachi.
Right.
He's going to be a forerunner. He's going to be a man coming, preaching, leading the way for Jesus. And I mean, any given time, I mean, John could have said, look at me, man.
Yeah.
Look who's coming behind me. I'm leading the way for this man.
That's right.
I am.
That's right.
He never did do that.
Amen.
He had humility about him. Well, folks, it's never about us and who can hear us and who notices us. It's all about Jesus. That great man named Paul became great inside the Lord. But he penned this in Galatians 6:3.
Yes.
If a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing,
yes,
he deceiveth himself.
Right, Richard.
I ain't never had but one preacher ever sign that verse in my Bible. All the preachers I've had sign my Bibles. Galatians 6:3. Dr. Larry Wells. That's what he signed under his name in my Bible.
Yeah.
For if a man thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself.
Yes.
So let me ask you a question. Do you think we're living in a world where people think they're something?
Amen. Amen.
I mean, they really think they're something.
Exactly.
Okay, I hate to get carnal, but I'm going to right here. Don't get mad at me now. But and I'm not against it. I don't mind watching it. I enjoy watching it sometimes. This basketball stuff going on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I'm in the temple tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, Brother Daniel, that I'm on top, still on top, I think. I'm number one spot.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know how I did it. I just punched the butts of numbers and there it is. Lord told me. No, I know what they tell me that. But I look at sports sometimes, and not just basketball, but I look at football.
Sure, sure.
I look at the whole thing all the way across the board, race car driving, all that stuff. And it's amazing how we can get caught up in all that. I mean, this guy's playing for Purdue, 7'4".
Mm-hmm.
challenge for him to dunk a ball. All he's got to do is lift his 4-foot span hand up in the air. He's already touching the goal.
Yeah.
If he's 7'4", he's got a 4-foot span. That's over 10 foot, Daniel. All he's got to do is have the ball in hand. Boop. Woo! And we get, wow. They jumped up there and threw the ball in the hoop. Wow. They dunked it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I'm thinking, is that really that great of a feat?
Right.
That people go, they go ballistic. We go ballistic, don't we? I mean, I've gotten excited about that. Saying, so like, man, that was an awesome dunk. Yeah. I'd never been able to do that, but that was pretty good. Now, when you really sit back and think about it, you think, man, that is plumb stupid that we're hollering about that.
Right.
I mean, they didn't accomplish nothing.
That's right.
That's not a great accomplishment.
Right.
See, the world's success and the world's idea of greatness is a lot different than the Bible's.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys that kick those field goals, I mean, that is a little amazing to me. But I mean, God gave them the leg to do it with.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really not that great of a feat, really.
No.
I mean, even golf. Now, sometimes they're pretty great feats. Mm-hmm. But if you get good enough at it, it's not impossible.
That's right.
Some of them golfers have multiple holes in ones. And that ain't by accident, by the way. That's because they're good.
Sure.
And we go in awe about all that. And, hey, but that's what the world thinks is great.
Yes.
That's being successful in the world.
Yes.
But God's thing is this about being successful is totally, totally different. I ain't preaching nothing you don't already know. But they think there's something.
Exactly.
That's what I was getting at. They think there's something.
Exactly.
I mean, who's this guy on our team? We pulling for him. He's a burn them threes up. What's that dude's name?
R.J. Davis.
Yeah. Got the black, long black. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Number four. Is that number four? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
He burned them threes up. And he'll do it like he'll get a three. And that one time he got a three, like right at the buzzer or something. He went, wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. I guess it's exciting to him.
Yeah.
Oh, <yeah. laughs> You did that really smooth.
Really smooth. I'm saying they think there's something. They really think there's something. Isn't that right? They think there's something. They really think there's something.
They
really do think, I mean, they think there's something,
yes,
son.
Uh-huh.
I wonder what the Lord's doing up there in heaven.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Pitiful.
Right.
Well, I want to be something for God.
Amen, preacher.
I would like to be great in the sight of the Lord. A lot of people in this world think there's something. But when they think there's something, when they're nothing. See, they're deceived. They've deceived themselves. And I think about these people, and I try to have a word of prayer for them every now and then. I'm thinking, Lord, and all that, when life's over, they have nothing but hell to look forward to.
Right.
Eternity without God.
Right.
All their fame, all their wealth, all that, it's nothing
right.
at death.
Right.
And we hate to think, you know, I mean, we look at some of these guys, and I know they're heroes, people's heroes and all that stuff, but when you really think about the end of their life,
right.
what have they really accomplished that counts for anything?
Amen.
They've really accomplished anything.
Amen.
I mean, they got the statistics. They got the most blah, 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 most blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
But what's that going to count when they're standing before Jesus
right.
At the great white throne, going to be cast in the lake of fire? I mean, it ain't really going to matter.
No, sir.
It ain't really going to matter. And so we can't let ourselves get so caught up in that hinders us from being great for the Lord.
Sure.
Coming great in the sight of the Lord. You got to be willing to be odd. You got to be willing to be obedient. You got to be willing to face opposition. You got to be willing to be outside the picture. And I think most of all, we just simply got to be willing to fulfill our obligation. I mean, surely we feel obligated
Amen.
To Christ, do we not?
Right.
An obligation is an act or a course of action to which a person is morally or legally bound, a duty or commitment. Jesus don't make me do what I do.
Amen.
But if he saved us,
yes,
should we not feel obligated to live for him? And I know you do. It's my obligation to be here.
That's right.
It's my obligation to serve him.
Exactly.
And, you know, do the things we do. Well, Jesus had something to say about John the Baptist.
Yes.
Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater,
amen,
than John the Baptist. Yes. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. We as the bride of Christ have a higher spiritual position than any others.
Yes.
And we ought to be obligated to feel the need to let God make us great,
amen,
in his sight. Now, you becoming great in God's sight won't be like being great in the world's sight.
No.
But we're not trying to combat with the world anyhow.
Right.
I'm not trying to outdo the world. I want to win the world to Jesus.
Right.
But I'll just be honest tonight. I want God to, and I'm looking at greatness tonight. I believe all you people are great for the Lord.
Amen.
And I pray God help us to be great for the Lord.
Amen.
You know, this community needs us.
Oh, yes.
And we do things that outreaches, that reaches our, what we would call our Jerusalem, amen,
mm-hmm,
and beyond. But our community needs a church that's on fire for God.
Yes.
And our community needs people that will be great for God. I'll be great for God, preacher. Well, be willing to do what John the Baptist was willing to do.
Sure.
He's willing to be odd. He's willing to face the opposition, the obstacles, all that. Opposition. Oh, my. It's the least I can do.
Yes.
To show my love to him.
That's right.
Amen.